on the Coyote Sports Network. From Learfield IMG College, this is the YokeCast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics, taking you inside the stories of Coyote athletes, coaches, administrators, and more. Now, here's your host, John Thayer.
Hey, what's up? How's it going? It's another edition of YokeCast, and in this episode, we are going to talk about a number of different achievements. We'll start with, we'll have a team achievement in soccer and what they are doing with the Summit League tournament and their opportunity to compete in that. We'll talk to Alexis Mitchell, a senior who spent her career, you know, she was here before Michael Thomas, the head coach, and that he comes in and they've been trying to build this program and they finally get a payoff with an opportunity to play in the Summit League tournament. So we'll talk to her about Coyote soccer. Zach Anderson, who's obviously coming off a tremendous weekend, just stole all the headlines earlier this week about his ability to high jump 7'5". Think about that for a second. Michael Rundy, assistant volleyball coach, tweeted out that the dimensions of the volleyball net, it would be like him high jumping over the volleyball net and clearing that. That is absolutely incredible. And it was an Olympic standard, which means he gets an opportunity to compete at the Olympic trials. And for the young man out of small town South Dakota, you can certainly appreciate that. The South Dakota volleyball team this week obviously played in the NCAA tournament. It was unfortunate the Coyotes couldn't really get as much going as they would have liked against a very good Missouri team. Coyotes dropped it in straight sets. But nonetheless, they had an amazing run. When you look at how they finished the regular season, they go into the Summit League tournament. They nearly get knocked out of the Summit League tournament, but they battle to a 5-set winner. Then they go to the championship game. They're on their heels again, down 2-0. Looking like the season is over, and they rally in a big, big way. 5-set thriller, beat Denver, and they punch their ticket to the NCAA tournament. The second NCAA tournament in 3 seasons. Leanne Williamson and her staff are building something absolutely incredible at the University of South Dakota. But what I want to talk about in volleyball kind of is going to be more of a broad picture. You know, we're coming off of a year which there have been many, many challenges. Okay, it's been challenging to get games in. It's been challenging for the student athletes to go through the testing and everything else that they've had to do. And I know we've talked about that all the time, right? But it's fair to talk about it because that's their lives. That's the way they have lived this year. And it's been really, really hard on a lot of the student athletes. Make no mistake about that. It's been challenging for them. It's been challenging for the coaches. And they continue to power through and find success. What it also challenged were the tournament settings in the NCAA. And we spent time talking about on social media, and then it blew up even bigger everywhere, about the inequities of the women's basketball tournament in San Antonio, Texas, compared to what was in Indianapolis, right? What the men got. Started with a weight room and the swag bags and this and that. And there were a lot of real strong complaints and you can understand why those complaints exist, right? But then after the women's basketball tournament and they get things fixed and they make a move and they try to, you know, cover it up a little bit and just we move on. We play the tournaments. The women's basketball teams did a fantastic job overlooking all of that stuff, doing the best they could, knowing that they were playing for an NCAA tournament. And you would think that that would get the attention of everybody involved. Then you have the NCAA volleyball tournament. And now you have certain things going on at the volleyball tournament that people are not happy about. The locker room setup was one. The practice court setup and how some coaches felt that they were dangerous and not a good situation. And they're playing these matches in convention halls instead of maybe at different facilities around Omaha, Council Bluffs area, whatever it may be. And it just struck me as odd that after we would have so many complaints and so many things brought to the center of attention with the women's basketball tournament, that you would find these situations in the volleyball tournament. The other one was no commentators for the ESPN3 broadcast. ESPN later said that they would provide commentators for the volleyball matches. But the point of this is, the NCAA, and I realize I think, you know, about every sport has a different committee that kind of lines all of this stuff up. But at what point have we lost sight that an NCAA tournament should be something absolutely special? I don't care the sport. I don't care the gender. If these teams qualify, student athletes and coaches qualify for an NCAA tournament, it should be made as special as you possibly can, right? And you can't overlook a lot of these details that have been overlooked this year. And again, I say that knowing that it's been challenging for everybody during the COVID era, the COVID world that we are in. Never have they had to have these tournaments this big with this many teams in one city. There were going to be things overlooked. But when it's brought to your attention one week, then a couple of weeks later, you can't be at the center of attention again. It's time for many people to wake up and realize that going to an NCAA tournament is the ultimate goal for many, many programs, many athletes, many coaches. Obviously, the greatest goal would be to win a national title, but you can't win the title if you don't make it to the NCAA tournament. The NCAA tournaments, regardless of sport and regardless of gender, need to be special. The student athletes and the coaches and everybody involved with their programs should walk into an NCAA tournament, regardless of the challenges, and it should be special. It shouldn't be that people always find something to complain about, right? We realize that. But these were things that were fixable, correctable prior to it hitting social media. NCAA tournaments need to feel special, regardless of sport, regardless of gender, and a lot of people need to wake up and realize it. We get our show started here on the podcast with the athletics director of the University of South Dakota, David Herbster.
David, it's been a really exciting week in South Dakota athletics. Just so much going on and a big weekend for Coyote athletics. Obviously, this was a big week for South Dakota as well. Let's start with volleyball. They had their chance in the NCAA tournament, had a heck of a rally that we had talked about. They got the chance to play Missouri this week. Unfortunately, fell in straight sets, but thought we did see some good things out of that team and a program that just continues to grow under Leanne Williamson.
Yeah, you know what it was. It was a good match. Those first two sets were, I'll back it up for a second. It's tough to come back when you dig yourself a hole 12-2, and that's how we started the entire match down 12-2. Dug our way out of that. Just could not close the gap. You know, in that second set, we came out and actually held the lead for a while. But then, you know, some mistakes and, you know, the margin for error against a team like Missouri is so small. And I think people forget that they're the number three team in the SEC. But yet I thought we had our chances, didn't capitalize on it, and they did. But it doesn't take away from the great run that they had this season, especially there towards the stretch and certainly in the Summer League tournament. So a lot to learn from, a lot to build on. And we have a lot of the team, most of the team coming back. So I think it really sets us up well for next year.
Yeah, really, it really does. And a program that's continued to build under Leanne Williamson. She has been special to continue kind of building this program that started with her as an assistant, this kind of build, but it has just continued, hasn't it?
It really has. And I think, you know, it was such a unique, intimate atmosphere when we were over in the playing in the dome up in the Den. But for what we've been able to do the past two or three years, really build a base, really start to build a following, starting to bring in the recruits. I think the facility sells itself, campus sells. It really is kind of a family in that volleyball program, much like most of our teams. So now you kind of look and find ways to kind of keep pushing the envelope a little bit to find ways to take it one step further, one step further, and one step further.
Well, hopefully they can use this experience and continue to, you know, set the bar as they come back next season, and hopefully a more normal fall season that we're all have our fingers and fingers crossed for, and we'll see how things, of course, play out with that. Let's talk track. This past weekend, a big weekend for the track and field team, and obviously Zach Anderson took the headlines. He jumped 7 feet 5 inches in the high jump. That is incredible. That's jumping over the volleyball net.
That is. You think about it like that. That's clearing me by 8 inches. I mean, he he just jumped over Ralph Sampson, for those that remember the old basketball days. I mean, 7 feet 5 inches, and when you watch the video of it, I mean, yeah, he didn't have much room to spare, but it was such a clean jump. Super excited for him, and not only setting the marks in both the NCAA but nation leading marks, and this qualifies him for the Olympic trials. And so good for Zach. What a, you know, I'm so glad he was one that was able to come back for this extra year, since his spring season last year was cut short from COVID. But fantastic young man, he really is.
You know, what's amazing is that high jump squad is ranked number one. He gets the headlines, but I think about everybody else who jumped. At least three other guys either had personal bests or season bests this past weekend. That's a group that continues to excel.
Right. You know what? And really, really excited for this group. Training has not been the easiest this winter. You know, when we had the, you know, before we put the turf down, we had everything set up for them to train. And, you know, now all of a sudden you have to put the turf down, and we're finding different locations and places and ways for them to train. And so they can jump. So, you know, now in the outdoor season, they've really, I think, blossomed. And, you know, we still have several home meets left and several meets that they're going to go to before we host the Summit League Indoor or Summit League Outdoors May 13th through the 15th.
The men's track and field team right now is ranked number 24 in the country. How incredible is that to see what Lucky Huber and his coaching staff have been able to do here?
You know what? It's just fantastic. And it's really kind of the overall team, because you look at it from the perspective of the jumpers, the hurdles, the sprints, the distance, the throws. They've really done, I think, an excellent job. Lucky has really assembled an overall great staff. I mean, you've got – think about it. We have two Olympians on the coaching staff between Derek Miles and A.G. Krueger. And they just keep finding ways to get better and better and better. Now what we really need to do is crack the nut of – you know, in the Summit League Outdoors, kind of the stranglehold that North Dakota State has had on that, finding ways to score points in different areas to kind of counteract the points that NDSU puts on the board to give us a shot at that title.
Big week this week for golf. Both the men's and women's golf teams went to the Omaha area and played. Matt Tolan finished second on the men's side individually. He led the team to a fourth place finish. And then the women, they were in second place. They had Julia Hall and Danica Badura finish in a tie for third individually. So big week for golf.
Really, you know what? And you're peaking at the right time. As we close in on the Summit League championships for the women and then the men, you want to be playing your best golf right now. And luckily, you know, we've had some great weather over the last several weeks for them to be able to get out and get as many rounds in and get on the course. So great to see them hit the ball. Great to see them as a team hitting the ball. It's nice when Matt Tolan finishes second, but if no one else follows up behind him, it's kind of tough. But you know, I think what we're seeing, at least what I'm seeing with this group right now, is when, you know, you're getting two or three and that kind of pulls the other ones up, they're really collectively scoring well. So exciting for them, especially as you lead into the Summit League tournament.
Speaking of Summit League tournaments and programs on the bill, the soccer team set to play a Thursday afternoon match against Denver. First round of the Summit League soccer tournament in Omaha. And just the second time that the Coyote soccer program has been to the Summit League program, they really have been building under Michael Thomas.
They have. And, you know, they're playing their best soccer now. Early in the season, it was rough. Even in the first part of the conference season, it was rough. I mean, you start out with Denver and Omaha and SDSU, and you kind of – I think we only got one tie out of that whole thing. But yet you're in every single match. I think the two games we had against Denver, one was an overtime loss and the other was a 1-0 loss, and Omaha was close. And SDSU, they were, you know, close. But yet we've won six in a row coming into this. So I like the position that we're in, even though the three teams above us, we haven't actually beaten yet. I think we're a little bit different team now. Talking to Michael, he really talked about, that second game in the SDSU series where things changed. That's when we tied them. And just the mentality change. I mean, there was just – I don't know what switch they flipped, but the bench was more involved. I mean, just overall, I mean, I'm seeing them play with a little bit quicker pace, a little more purpose, and attacking the net more, which this team is going to need to do.
Well, we'll look to see if they can continue their season, advance on as far as they possibly can, but it's been fun. They've been on a great stretch here lately. All right, let's get to Ask the AD. We've got a couple of questions. We'll start with football. There's been a lot of conversation about teams who have had to end games or not finish their seasons due to COVID-related things. Some of it was a lot of it out of USD's control, really, in the final game a decision by the other team. But how do you feel like the program, the coaches, the players, everybody's handled the situation with football and unfortunately having to end the season just the way that it did?
Yeah, extremely disappointed and very frustrated. You know, first game, when the first one got canceled, that was actually the day of the game versus North Dakota State. And then, you know, the next game against Northern Iowa, that was us. And then, but it kind of wiped out a position group in the process. So, you know, then the SDSU game is out, and now all of a sudden West Illinois cancels the rest of their season. So, you know, we're kind of left, kind of looking to the left, looking to the right. You know, what the hell just happened, you know? But I think the team has handled it well. I think there's a little bit of a sense of relief, only from the perspective of, are we going to play or are we not going to play? When is this going to happen? Can we not? Do we test? And, you know, a little bit of that back and forth. And just in talking with some of the other coaches and ADs around the league, there's no doubt that a high level of stress and anxiety that these athletes are feeling right now. They don't want to be the one to test positive. They don't want to be the one to cancel out a game or end up in quarantine and things like that. So I think they've handled as well as they can. We've got the football team right now kind of full focused on lifting in the weight room and then conditioning for the next couple weeks. And then we're going to give them several weeks off before we bring them back for about 5 weeks in the summer, give them a few weeks off and about another 3 weeks before we lead into fall ball. So trying to get their legs back underneath them, but more than anything, get their heads right and get them kind of focused on finishing up the spring semester strong.
The other question was more of an invitation for you, I think. Something about Hermosa Beach and the way the weather is around here right now. I don't know how quickly we can get to a beach.
Oh, my friend Kyle Dietrich, I'm going to take you up on that, my man. Kyle Dietrich is one of our football alums, lives out there in California. So, I think this summer is definitely going to be a summer of travel. Just, you know, the big thing too is just getting out and seeing and being able to spend some time with our former athletes, our donors, our alums, which we've really kind of been locked up here, not being able to travel, or people now didn't want you to come see them in person, so you're on a Zoom call. So let's open up. You should probably travel with me, John. That shouldn't be a solo deal on that one.
I'm in. Let's go. Just give me the date and let's go. Yeah, well, we all need the warmer weather. We're all looking forward to it. We're all looking forward to travel as well. David, great stuff. Thanks so much for the time. I know it's an exciting week in Coyote Athletics, and we'll continue to talk about it here as we continue to get through these seasons and through the spring sports.
No, sounds good, John. Appreciate you, man. Thanks.
He's the athletic director at the University of South Dakota, David Herbster, joining us here on the podcast. For the past decade, there's only been one place to watch your favorite coaches, players, and teams, and that place is Midco Sports Network, celebrating 10 years of sports this season. Had a chance this week to catch up with Summit League first team honoree Alexis Mitchell and talk to her about her team's opportunity to play in the Summit League tournament.
Alexis, as you have gone through this season, obviously there are always ups and downs throughout the course of a season, and you guys went through a stretch where you were close against two of the top teams in the Summit League and just not able to quite overcome that, but then found a winning streak here at the end of the season, regular season. What has changed for your group or what has bought in for your group that has allowed the season to finish on such a high note the way that it has for the regular season?
Our team has really bought in into who we are, and our coaching staff has told us about being confident and believing in ourselves and each other. And since we started doing that and trusting each and every one of us on and off the field, the team chemistry has just been out of this world.
How much does that take? We hear about the buy-in and things of that nature all the time. What does it take for a group to really come together the way that your team has and do that buy-in?
It's one of those things that when you start seeing that your team has your back and the things are starting to work, you keep buying in more and more, and then it just think of it as a snowball, and it keeps going that your way, and it keeps working. So when we build on each other's confidence and we build on each other's strengths, then we can keep seeing success after success after success.
How much fun has this stretch been? You're winners of 6 straight, 8 of the last 10, and it just feels like the confidence right now is at an all-time high. How much fun has this been?
Oh, it's been so much fun, especially playing with my best friends out there. It's one of those things that I'll remember for the rest of my life and look back fondly on. What's crazy is when we were going into the 6-game winning streak, we knew we had to win out to make the tournament. And we had to take it one game at a time. So after each win, we're like, okay, focus on the next one, focus on the next one.
And that can be difficult. It can be difficult not to look ahead, not to look at the big picture because of the goals that you and your teammates set forth for each other. So when you're getting a win here and then a win there, and it just starts going, how do you keep focused on just what's next and not getting too excited about what could be?
Our coaching staff, especially Coach Michael, is very good at saying one thing at a time, one step at a time. What will prepare us for this game is this training session, and we train as we play. And since we've gotten that in our head, we have trained very sharp and very good soccer at our training sessions, which help us in the games.
You go into the final weekend of the regular season knowing that if you win one game, you will be in the Summit League tournament for just the second time in program history. You accomplished that on Friday night in dominating fashion. What was Friday like to experience for you knowing that after that victory, the Summit League tournament was a reality?
Oh, goosebumps. Going into that game, just knowing that we were 90 minutes away from making history, going into the tournament, just knowing that we needed to go leave it out all on the field and 3 points would get us into the tournament, just was so exciting. So I'm smiling just thinking about it.
And you start off so well. I mean, your team scores goals, and it's hard, again, not to get ahead of yourself, but knowing what you were doing. How much fun was the second half of that game, just knowing that you couldn't really give up a lot of goals, and you knew that you were in cruise control, essentially?
Yes, it's one of those things where playing soccer is fun in itself, but knowing that you're getting so close after we had 3 goals in the first half, knowing we were 45 minutes away of not letting them score, knowing we were in the tournament, then we just all went out there and had a blast.
You're a senior at USD, and I believe it was from Missouri. What brought you to USD, essentially?
I knew I wanted to go somewhere out of state, but I wanted to be somewhere close, and I wanted to go to a place where I knew I would be a successful student athlete, where the town is welcoming and warming, and I would have all the support that I need, and I get that in Vermilion. It's a great community.
When you look at your time and just the way that South Dakota has continued to develop athletically, really in all sports, but putting money into soccer and building the new field, the new stadium, what does that mean to you as you look at USD as a whole and see what you have to play on?
We have a beautiful stadium, and that was a big reason I came here, is because you can tell that USD athletics are growing and growing and growing, and to be a part of it is just very exciting and something I have such pride and honor in. And we actually got lights this year on our team, or on our field, so we got to play a Thursday night light game, and it was just so much fun to be able to do something like that.
I believe it was after your first year that Michael Thomas was hired as the head coach at USD. And so you've been able to spend some time in his program and get to know it and understand it. What has he done that has changed? Maybe it's a culture. Maybe it's just the way the team is made up. What have you seen out of the coaching staff during your time that has allowed you to reach this point and make it to the Summit League tournament?
Michael Thomas is a guy that came in with a plan, and he knew that if we all bought in to his plan as a team, then we would be successful. And he's a great coach that understands the game, and he hired Maddie and Maddie, who are also coaches that just understand the game and know how to reach their players and bring out the best in their players.
You know, earlier you said Coach Michael. You probably can't just say Coach Maddie. You'd get dual responses, wouldn't you?
Yeah. It's funny that you say that, because I don't know how, but now that you say it, I just say Coach Maddie. Oh, well, we call Maddie Burdick. We call her Bird.
Okay.
We call her Bird. So, there you go.
Well, there's always something to decipher the two, right, when there's multiple. Okay, as you look at what has happened this season, obviously your goals are higher than just making the Summit League tournament, and everybody understands that. But this is the second time that South Dakota has made it to a Summit League tournament in the Division I program, and you've spent your entire career here. When you look back at being a part of building something that really you're hoping establishes, obviously, going forward, what has this meant to you? What has your career meant to you? And the opportunity to play for a Summit League tournament, it kind of culminating in that way and coming together after all this time?
Yes, it means the world to me. And in all honesty, when we made it into the tournament with our win on Friday, my dad sent me a message about saying how I've spent my 4 years my goal when I got here was to make the tournament, and we finally reached it as a team. And I have brought tears of happiness to to my eyes, because just how much hard work we have put in as a team to get to this point. We are more than ready.
You talked about how your team has grown throughout the course of the season, and obviously your first round opponent is Denver, and you've played them twice, losing twice in one goal games, one time in overtime. What do you feel like your team has to do differently or continue to do that you've been doing down this stretch to really have an opportunity to win that game and advance to the championship?
That's what's great, is if we go out there and play the way we've been playing, we will win. We are a different team than we were when we faced them in February. They were one of our first games, and we've learned to buy into who we are. And since then, we are on a roller coaster that's just going up. So if we play the way that I know we can play, like we've been playing, then I know we will be successful.
Well, we're all looking forward to the Summit League tournament. Alexis, thanks so much for the time. I greatly appreciate it. It's been fun to watch your career unfold, and we wish you and your team all the best in the Summit League tournament, and hopefully there's a few more games left to play.
Yes, thank you so much for having me.
She's Alexis Mitchell, a senior soccer player at the University of South Dakota, and this week she was named All-Summit League First Team honoree. Three others were also honored by the Summit League. They were named to the second team. That included Taylor Cotter, Taylor Ravello, and Emma Harkle-Rode. Okay, Yotes fans, let's bank some noise. First Dakota National Bank is here to help you reach all of your financial goals. Bank some noise with First Dakota at firstdakota.com, member FDIC. This week, I had a chance to catch up with Zach Anderson, a senior high jumper at the University of South Dakota. Last weekend, he cleared 7 feet 5 inches. It's the Olympic standard, which qualifies him for the Olympic trials in Eugene, Oregon. Zach, you're obviously coming off of a really big weekend this past weekend with setting a mark, 7.5, jumping that in a school record, and also tying the NCAA lead and hitting the Olympic standard. What did that mean to you when you cleared that height of 7.5?
It was huge. That But standard 226 has been dawning on me for a while now. I've had good attempts at it. But, yeah, finally making it happen, it just gave me an adrenaline spike that I have never experienced. Definitely the coolest moment in my sports career.
And you did it on the first jump, right? So how was it hard to settle down to try to attempt more?
Yeah, I hit a high in there that was just absolutely crazy. I don't know if words can describe it, but yeah, settling down for that next bar, I was a little bit ahead of myself in my first two attempts, but third one I came together a little bit, but I'll be excited to get back out there and give it a fresh try.
Now, jumping over 7 feet is nothing new to you. Obviously, you did that in high school, setting records and holding the South Dakota Class B record of 7 feet. What does it take to continue to increase your height the way that you have at USD?
Honestly, I would just say that never settling with something is my biggest motivator. I constantly want better, and that's something that I strive forward to every single week, and it finally came together here this past weekend.
When you talk about Olympic standard, qualifying for the Olympic trials, for track and field athletes, that's always the ultimate goal to get that opportunity. What does that mean to you, knowing that the time that you've put in your career in track and field, to hit that qualifying mark and know that you'll get that opportunity?
Yeah, it's something that still hasn't quite set in. I thought it would a few hours after the meet or maybe the next day, but I mean, it's a goal that you talk about and everyone talks about, and just to hear anything with Olympic in it and you qualifying is absolutely unreal. But no, to make it happen and know that I get that chance out in Eugene end of June here is definitely a happiness point for me, but also another reason to get hungry and start chasing bigger and better things.
Obviously a lot to continue on before you worry about what goes on in Eugene. But now that you've hit the 226 mark or 7 feet, 5 inches, where do you set your goals from here?
Honestly, as for a number, it's just trying to obtain the 7.5 that will get you to that automatic Olympic standard. But you know, that's a big leap too, of course, but I think a lot of high jump is mental and understanding that you can do something and then going out and doing it. So might as well set the bar high. I am known for wanting to do that 24/7, but no, I'd say my next big height is up in those 230 ranges, 7.6, 7.7 area, and going to make that happen would be huge.
Zach, I don't know if a lot of people understand what goes into a high jump attempt, from the way you start and your approach to the bar and your leap and everything. How would you explain it to someone, a process of a high jump attempt?
I would say that it's just trying to make everything feel perfect, because that's what you need to make the bar. And there's a lot of speed that goes into it, and then being able to stop it all on that last step and send it straight up, which is something that doesn't happen always, and why you get 3 attempts, because it's tough to do, but if it comes together, it's normally a pretty good time over the bar.
Zach, you've obviously taken the headlines, and rightfully so, this week after your performance on Saturday. You're part of number one high jump squad in the country, and a group that last week either had personal bests or season bests for a lot of them. What makes this group so special, high jumpers?
I think it's just that we care about each other's success as much as ours. And one thing I know from my years of sports, it's all about the support you get, and that leads to your confidence. And with my boys and I, it's just constantly being happy for one another and wanting them to do it as good as you or better. We got a lot of great jumpers. We got a lot of young jumpers who are ready to hit their next stride here soon. And then 3 of us are headed out after this year. And it's all about them reaching their goals this year of 7 foot. And with that, I mean, our squad ranking should be far above anyone else, which would be an awesome way to end my career.
How much have you noticed yourself or even other guys drawing motivation just in competition within your own group, trying to continue to best each other?
Yeah, it's not just a thing that happens on Saturdays at track meets either. We're all constantly competitive, whether it's when we're fishing, who gets the biggest fish or the most fish, or we play a lot of little games, anything we can think of just to try and make the other one a little bit more competitive than yesterday.
You look at the USD men's track and field team as a whole, ranked number 24 in the nation this week by U.S. Track and Field Cross Country Coaches Association. What does that mean to you, knowing what you've done at USD in your career and just being a part of something that is built so tremendously special?
Yeah, it is unbelievable, and I'm so happy that I ended up going to South Dakota and that they gave me the opportunity to come compete. And what we've been building for the last 4 or 5 years is starting to come together, and I'm excited to see what we can do. And I know there's other people on the team that are going to step up and continue to do big things and push those marks even further. And so we can start getting some good finishes and let people know what South Dakota's about in the NCAA world.
Zach, as you look forward, obviously you've got some collegiate track and field left, but then you'll obviously go to Eugene and give that a try. What are your goals long term with track and field? Is this something you hope to continue well into the future, or how much thought have you put into that?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of thought going into it, and I mean, I've been playing sports since as long as I can remember, and I don't know if I could ever let go of it this easily at the end of this year. So hopefully I start pushing the numbers even higher and can find a way to keep competing.
When did you know that track and field or high jump, long jump, whatever it may be, you've been successful in a lot of it. When did you know that that was something that you wanted to pursue and potentially could be really good at?
I'd say about my junior year of high school. It was when high jump and long jump and triple jump kind of came together and started being easy for me and consistent. And then, of course, my senior year, once I had the huge leap from a 6'7" best to 7 foot, and that put me up in the group of all the names that I'm with now at the NCAA level. I knew that it was going to happen for me, and I just had to do the little things and get the technical parts right, and here I am.
You're from small town South Dakota, and you've made it. Obviously, you're making a name for yourself in track and field. What's your message to other small town kids who have big dreams and big goals?
I would say just whatever it is, chase it with your whole heart. It could be anything, and it could be something that you're not even aware of yet. One awesome thing I have on my team is two Olympic coaches, and one of them is Derek Miles, and he always says that you never know what you're good at, but he truly believes that everyone in this world is spectacularly good at something. So it's just getting out there, trying everything, because who knows what could get you a college scholarship, who knows what to take you beyond that, and who knows what you could fall in love with competitively.
You know, as you mentioned, Derek Miles, look at the coaching staff at the University of South Dakota, the years of experience, the success that a lot of these coaches have had on a world stage. What has that meant to you to be tutored and just guided by coaches who have been at the very top of of the track and field world?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. We're incredibly blessed to have two coaches with that experience. I mean, six Olympic teams is not normal for a team, especially in South Dakota. So to have them there, and they just have this like level of confidence and like expectations of like, we know you can be excellent, but you got to go do it at a meet. You got to do this and that. And it just makes a better feeling, knowing that these guys know what you can do and that they've seen other athletes go through all these events. And I mean, been on the same teams as some of the best athletes in the world in history too. So yeah, to have them on your side is definitely a surreal feeling.
Certainly incredible. Zach, keep up all the great work. Thanks so much for the time. Greatly appreciate it. You got a lot of people cheering for you to continue to clear that high bar. Thanks so much for the time. Good luck the rest of the way.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Nice talking with you.
He's Zach Anderson, a senior high jumper at the University of South Dakota. All right, before we wrap things up, let's take a look at what is going on in Coyote Athletics. Well, the Summit League championships are this weekend. They're Thursday, Friday, and Saturday in Fargo, North Dakota. So the University of South Dakota swimming and diving teams will be at the Swimming and Diving Summit League Championships. Again, that's in Fargo over the weekend, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. On Friday, the track and field teams head to Sioux City, Iowa. It's the Sioux City Relays, where they will spend all day. Softball is home this weekend. They are scheduled to take on Kansas City for a doubleheader on Saturday. That begins at noon, and also a doubleheader on Sunday. That begins at 11 a.m. The Summit League Soccer Championship in Omaha, Nebraska is set for 4 o'clock on Saturday. Women's tennis is scheduled to play at home against Western Illinois. Women's tennis also scheduled to be at home on Sunday against North Dakota. And I mentioned those softball matchups as well. Coyote track and field team set to host the USD Twilight. That is scheduled for Tuesday evening, a 4 p.m. start time in Vermilion. That's a look at what's going on in Coyote Athletics. Thanks so much for taking the time to join us here on the podcast each and every week as we continue to bring these conversations from administrators, student athletes, and so many more that are involved in Coyote Athletics. As always, if you have a thought or a story you'd like to hear more about, you can always email us at yokecast@usd.edu. I'm John Thayer. Thanks so much for your time again. Until next time, stay safe and go Yotes.
Thanks for listening to Yotecast, the official podcast of the University of South Dakota Athletics. The preceding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Coyote Sports Network.